Morning, sir. Thank you. And to make an opening, especially with something like FedEx, is no big deal to God at all. So he can do it. I was on Steve Twinkie's ordination in 1999 and have known him since then. I'd be thrilled to death that if that's the Lord, that he take the church, because then we're friends and I could still go there. Take your Bible this morning and open it anywhere, because it is all good. And the more right with God you are, the more parts of it are good. Amen. We can be Bible believers, and I've stepped into pulpits, and people almost cringe sometimes when you tell them what verse to turn to, because they know you're going to hit close to whatever it is they should be but aren't dealing with. Amen. But in truth, it is all good. Take your Bible to Psalm 138, and we're going to read a verse and talk about the Bible during the Sunday school hour. Would that be okay here? Because, yeah, I thought so. Amen. Let's start with verse 1. It says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. There's the secret right there. We got a lot of half-heartedness, even in our crowd. Amen. That's why revival is important. That's why church is important. That's why reading your Bible is important, so you can get in, all the way in. Amen. And it says, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. And you know, the gods there is got a small g. And the Bible says there's gods many. And boy, we live in a day and age where there are gods many. We left, a lot of times we have to park at a campground, and you know, we're coming to church, and we the other day somewhere, my wife commented on there was a gym, and the parking lot's full, and I mean it's 9:30 Sunday morning. He says, "Well, there's a lot of people at church this morning there at the 24 Fitness or whatever it was." Amen. And there's people every Sunday faithfully every Sunday they can be. At the stadiums. Oh, yeah. Amen. He says, David says this, he says, before the gods, and there's plenty of them, but there's only one with a capital G, and that's who we've been singing about, that's who we praised this morning. That means, to me, we're off to a good start. Verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple. And that means you're going to have to get the distractions out of your peripheral vision and get focused toward him. And it says, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. What a statement that is. In truth, the Bible is all good. Amen. Now, I want to read you something that was in the fly leaf, I guess maybe you would call it, of the first King James Bible I ever got as an adult. I don't know what was going on as a kid in the little church that I grew up in. I have no idea. It was never mentioned. There was never any emphasis. I don't know what they used. It didn't make any impact on me. I'm not blaming them for that either. That's me. But I went to a church service in jail, and I've said that before, and I asked the preacher on the way out, and says, hey, man, you got an extra Bible? And it wasn't because I was interested in the Bible. I was in solitary confinement. I had nothing in there. Prisoners collect stuff. Collect books when they can, notebooks, potato chips, whatever. and he sent me a King James Bible that I still have on my shelf. And this was in the flyleaf, and it says this, the King James Bible. This book reveals the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. That's a boatload already. Amen. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Maybe we should remember that. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to sustain you, and comfort to cheer you. Anybody agree with that?
Yeah. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. Here too is heaven opened and the gates of hell disclosed. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened at the judgment, and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. Owned, it is riches. Studied, it is wisdom. Trusted, it is salvation. Loved, it is character. And obeyed, it is power. What a resume. All that refers to one book. Amen. And that's that King James Bible that you and I have, I don't know, 50, 60 copies of in this room right now, maybe more. So I want to talk about the Bible. And the Bible says there in the verse we read that he's magnified thy word above all thy name. And I just want to thank God for the Bible. Amen. That word Bible is a powerful word. It gets thrown around a lot. You'll find it on the cover if you were to go into a bookstore. I hesitate to even say the word Christian bookstore. I know of two or three in the country, amen, that aren't just religious novelty shops, you know. You'll go into one of them places and you'd be hard-pressed to find a King James Bible, but you'd find the words Holy Bible on the cover of lots of different books. And it's on the cover of the NIV and the ASV and the RSV and literally, I don't know how many others, hundreds, they say. And so just for clarity, when I'm talking about the Bible, and I know that you probably got this figured out, but I'm talking about the authorized version, the King James 1611. Amen. We're talking about the word Bible, and now that word is so powerful in and of itself, just the word Bible, that it's used in non-spiritual applications. Yep. How many have heard of the Shooter's Bible? The Shooter's Bible. I had a Shooter's Bible back when I was lost that explained things about it was a hunting thing mainly, but weapons, shotguns, ammunition, all the different, and by putting Bible on the cover of that thing, they're saying we are the final authority for everything that pertains to hunting. Amen. The Shooter's Bible. I did a little research and found out there's a Fisherman's Bible. Amen. If for somebody like me to go fishing, I would need a Bible because it doesn't work for me. I can't catch a fish. Fish laugh. I've been fishing with other preachers, and one on one side and one on the other, and they're reeling in fish. I'm doing the same thing. I know how to cast. I can buy good equipment. I've done all that, and nothing. And then one day, on a particularly quiet day at a lake, somewhere between two preachers who were far enough apart they weren't talking, I heard a noise that I had never heard before, and it took a while to recognize, but I finally nailed it down. It was fish laughing. It was like they're right out of sight, and they're, this guy thinks we're gonna, and they don't know, it doesn't work. But there's a Fisherman's Bible, and it gives you all the ins and outs. There's a Boater's Bible. Amen. And what really amazes me, and I see the need for, is a golfer's Bible. Because in my opinion, anybody who wastes their time golfing needs to spend more time. But that's just my opinion. I know I probably offended somebody. I'm counting on the offering being last night, because I probably offended somebody here. Talking about the Bible. And boy, what a topic. What a topic of great controversy. And why? Why would it be? Why should it be? With all the things that we just read about God's word, it ought to reign supreme. And it does with us. Amen. So let's pray again, talk about the Bible for a little bit this morning. And I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the word of God. That's where I learned how to be saved. That's how I learned what's ahead, what I'll save from. And it is the guide to literally to life, mine and many others. And I pray, God, that you just let me brag on it a little bit this morning. Bring out some things of probably nothing most of these people don't know already, haven't heard, haven't read. But I pray that you be pleased with us endeavoring to magnify thy word in this hour this morning. I thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the soul who was saved last night. And no doubt there are more. I just know your work's not done yet today. And I pray, Father, that everything work together, perhaps to bring somebody else to the saving knowledge of Christ so they can enjoy what we've got in your precious word. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I heard last night about water and baptism. I didn't catch all that. But I'm wondering, like, I've been coming here for, like, how many years now? 14. How many years do I got to come here before I get water? Can I have some water? Because I don't want to drink his. It's just a thing I have. Thank you. And don't take a sip, because guys with beards, I look for hairs. Because some guys, if you have a mustache and there's a couple, I'm looking at it real close. My wife says, I will go back and go out to the motor room and get you a water. And I said, no, I'm confident. Maybe I'll put that. You know that letter I gave you on day one? Remember that letter? I'm going to add that. Could I please have a cup of water?
There's a lot falling through the cracks.
Say again? I ain't letting you get away with it. You guys been at it a long time. You're very professional. Amen. And you got a lot of help, too. So, we're going to have a lecture this afternoon for Waterboy. Amen. Who is going to be in charge? You win. Amen. You've done a great job.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
No ice? Oh. I know you know, we have a mutual friend, and he loves your pastor and Miss Marcy and this church. His name is Pastor Steve Andrus, and I get to preach for him. And a guy comes in with, and he's got a Harley mug, like a giant root beer mug, because it surely couldn't be that other kind. A big glass mug with a Harley thing on it. It's so big, I mean, it takes two hands to pick it up, and it's full of ice. And there are orange slices, because it's California. There's orange slices. So when I preached in Idaho, I was looking for, like, potato slices, but they didn't have any on there. Amen. I don't know what you put on here, like ice, I guess, ice cube. Walleye. I like walleye. All right. So we're talking about the Bible this morning. Take your Bible and go to Matthew 7. I'm glad we can have a good time in church. Amen. I came out of a world where we took ourselves way too seriously. And then I got saved, and I found out that a lot of Christians take themselves way too seriously, too. And they don't get to enjoy their Christianity. And what you got to do, what'll help you there, is to figure out it isn't about you, it's about Him. And you really can enjoy your Christianity while being totally serious about Jesus Christ and His book. I'm glad that's the crowd God put me with, because I don't think God lasted in the other one this long. Matthew chapter 7, and look what it says in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now that's the Lord Jesus Christ talking, and he's talking about the sayings of his sayings. He's talking about what he said, and he says the importance of doing them. And he makes a comparison to something we can get, like another wise man to build his house upon a rock. Now I travel around, and it's no different here. I travel around the country, and I'll go somewhere, and there'll be a field, and I'll come back in 2 years, and there is a housing development that has been built. I mean, filled. People are living in it. And the thing that's curious is oftentimes the houses look almost identical. You can tell that it's the same builder has got a tract of land. And so then, you know, in a field, let's say, the ground can change. In other words, at one end of that thing can be a rock and the other end be granite, or I mean sand or clay, and they don't react the same way to weather, and they don't react the same way to conditions. In other words, the same storm could come by and affect them differently. Even though they look identical, they might both be beautiful, they may, on a good day, look the same. Jesus Christ is pointing out, and he refers to it in the next verse. He talks about a house being built upon sand, and I'm thinking to myself, they could look identical by outward appearances, but it's the foundation that's going to determine whether they stand or fall. Amen. And so the Word of God is our foundation, and well, you wrote on that, and it is what our Christianity is built upon. And so we're not founded are grounded on feelings or ritual or wives' tales. We've got a good foundation because we've got, let me see, read it again. Who's ever heard these sayings of mine? It's significant. It's the Lord Jesus Christ talking. So it's our foundation. Now, I heard this early on. When I say stuff like that, I'm talking about in my early Christian life. I wasn't a kid by any means, and I was at a church, and I saw things, and the Word of God is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. And I thought, that is one catchy Bible believer slogan right there. Whoever came up with that's pretty good. But I'm going to tell you something here today. It is way more than just a catchy Bible believer slogan. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." That's pretty final. Yep, amen. In other words, and we've seen in the years I've been coming here, I mean since last year, or last time I was here 2 years ago, we've seen things change. We've seen things change in our country. We've seen things change in our churches. We've seen a lot change. Very little of it is in a positive way. Amen. But thank God today we've got something that doesn't. And we got two things. I mean, Jesus Christ doesn't change. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And thank God I'm not waiting for a new edition of the Word of God to come out. Amen. I've got it. The final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Now, my wife, who is still sad about no ladies meeting this year. Yeah, I'll get in trouble for saying that probably. No, really. Next year, next time, yes? Can I get a yes? Maybe. Amen. I say that to say this. My wife's been at this thing 47 years. She's got a lot of wisdom. She's had opportunity to give a lot of advice. She's got a master's degree in counseling, but she doesn't counsel based on that. She counsels based on the Word of God. Amen. So a girl went to her in that issue, and she explained it. And my wife says, okay, well, the Bible says. And she turned to the Bible, what was appropriate. And the girl who had claimed to be a Bible believer and wouldn't say that doesn't work, she said, yeah, but that's what people do. They'll add extra information. When you try to answer their question from the Bible, they'll add extra information to explain why that doesn't work. And she said, yeah, but, and she had some more information. And then my wife turned to another passage of the Bible and gave the verse. And yeah, but, that went on for a long time, hours. She said, she has much more patience than I do. Amen. My pastor, Dr. Easton, was like this. He'd throw a couple verses at you, and if that don't work, he'd shut the Bible and says, I got nothing for you. I mean, if the Bible doesn't work for you, I got nothing for you. Amen. And finally, my wife, she closed her Bible. Again, much more patient than I would be. But she closed her Bible and says, I really can't help you. It seems that the Bible works for everybody but you. And truth of the matter is, the Bible does work for everybody. But you got to let it. You got to let it. Now, I'm glad today that we're welcome to have our own thoughts and opinions on things. But at the end of the day, what saith the Scriptures pretty much sums it up. In all matters of faith and practice, this is the final authority. The buck doesn't stop wherever Truman said, the buck stops right there. Amen. All right, so now something else. Now, the Bible is truth. The Bible is truth. It says so in John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. And then it says, thy word is truth. And we live in a day and age where people don't know what to believe. I had a guy come to me after a service one time, and he said, Brother Burton, did you hear about this? And so I knew, right, he was going off on some kooky internet weirdo thing. And I just looked at him. I didn't say, oh, really, you know. And I just looked at him, and he said, no, I'm serious. He knew I wasn't on board. No, I'm serious. It's documented, he said. And I'm just looking at him, and he said some more. And it's documented three times. I said, wait a minute. You actually believe everything you read on the internet? And then he knew. Here it comes. I said, if I knew my Bible as well as you know that stuff, that junk, I'd be a better preacher. And then I said, and if you knew your Bible as well as you know that junk, you'd be a better Christian. Amen. I mean, hey, we live in a day and age where people don't know what to believe. I don't have that problem. I know exactly what to believe. I've got the truth right there. The words of the Lord. We get a verse, I can't remember, last night. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth. Purified seven times. As a matter of fact, that is the only pure book ever written. Amen. No offense, preacher. Library of Congress... isn't mine. No. The Library of Congress has over 30 million books cataloged. And outside of a King James Bible, there ain't a pure book in that place. Amen. So it's our final authority. It's true. It's pure. Take your Bible. Go to Job 23. Job 23, and I would encourage you to treasure what you've got in the Word of God. Job 23 and verse 12 says this, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That is the definitive verse to prove that Job was not an independent Baptist. He said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth. Esteem means honor. Esteem means to respect. Listen, friends, it wasn't too long ago in the scope of human history that Christians were persecuted, imprisoned, burned at the stake so that you could have a Bible in your lap, so you could have that precious book, infallible book. I was in Edinburgh, Scotland, and downtown is the beheading stone where they executed thousands upon thousands of believers because they wouldn't recant their faith in Christ alone and return to the Church of Scotland. And people are standing around that thing like it's a tourist attraction, leaning over, having their picture taken by that thing. And I stood there with tears, and my wife, we stood there with tears in our eyes, because that's what it cost to put that book in your lap. And you go right outside of town, and there's a place called Greyfriars Cemetery, and the Covenanter's prison is there off to the side, and it's just like stalls in a barnyard, no roof. And they put early Christians there, left them there 12 months a year. You look at Scotland on a map of the world. It's far north of Minnesota. I imagine it got pretty cold there in the winter. There's a mass grave there with 18,000 corpses of people that were executed. Amen? Buddy, I'll tell you what, we ought to esteem the words of his mouth because people went the distance to make it so that we could have it. We'd make a big deal of it because it is a big deal. The Word of God, people say, well, it's not really that important. Beloved, it is that important. Amen? And it deserves to be esteemed. It deserves to be honored. It deserves to be treasured. Treasure it. Amen. Everybody's got keepsakes, things, you know, that are really important to them. Boy, you got something that if you're not careful, you can take for granted. Amen. And so you ought to love it. Now, there's a song, I Love the Old Bible, and the Old King James Bible. And you'd be doing yourself a favor if you could fall in love with the old Bible. It says in Psalm 119 and verse 165, it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." That's the only place in the Bible that great peace shows up together, those two words side by side. And it refers to the Word of God. Amen. In a world full of turmoil and chaos and apprehension, loving the Word of God will give you great peace in spite of it. Maybe that's why I came to a point, I don't know how long ago, where whatever comes on the headline tomorrow don't faze me a bit. I'm not looking for anything in this world to tell me how to think, how to feel, what to get excited about, what to fear. I'm not worried about it because I got a Bible. Amen. And I was over in Bismarck last week, and there's a real good brother over there named Pat Bosch. I think you know him. And he said, "Brother Spurgeon, I read the last chapter. I know how it's going to turn out." And let me tell you something. It is that simple. Amen. You'd do well to love your Bible. It says nothing shall offend them. And, just in light of that, it causes me to wonder how come so many Bible believers are so easily offended. Amen. Christians almost easily offended people I ever met. In the old days, man, we could disagree, we could fight, we could shoot at each other, and we could get over it. Man, you give a they misinterpret a look or a comment. This is before social disease media. They misinterpret a look, and buddy, you got an enemy for life. They'll talk bad about you everywhere they go. Now they talk bad about you from the privacy of their home. Bunch of cowards. Are we live streaming? Bunch of cowards! No, it's still fun to say. I'm practicing. Amen. We should love it. You should respect it. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Talking about the Bible this morning. It says this. Hebrews 12, verse 4. Familiar verse. "For the word of God is quick and powerful." See that? "Powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That book right there is the most powerful force on the planet, bar none. You see where it says, even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. We got some stuff that can divide asunder joints and marrow, buddy. We can blow people into smithereens. I have no idea what a smithereen is. It just occurred to me. But we don't have anything that can divide soul and spirit. And that book can. That book can. That's divine power. And it says that it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And Brother Ruckman is the one I first heard say this. When you're reading that book, it's reading you. That's why you can go to that book and run across Acts 2:38 and start a denomination, because you went into it with an agenda. That's how you can go into that book and you can find a verse on signs and wonders or tongues or rattlesnakes. And you can say, "The Bible says so." That's why you can go into that book and say you can lose your salvation. Because you can if you take it out of context. But it knows what your motive is when you go there. And it'll let you hang yourself. If ever the expression, "Give them enough rope, they'll hang themselves," that applies to that book. But I tell you what, you can be a dope head and a drunkard for 20 years of your adult life, sitting in a jail cell looking at 30 years in federal prison, and have trusted Jesus Christ because you have enough sense to admit you're a sinner, and open that book and say, "Lord," and he'll speak to you. And if you want truth, he'll give it to you. Amen. You got to chuck your agenda first. Amen. That's quite a book. You ought to respect that, because, again, that is the most powerful force on the planet. I'm a convicted felon. I can't own a firearm, but I got some of these, boy. I got something better than a pistol. Amen. Say, well, that won't help you if somebody shoots you. Well, actually, it will, because according to what it says, I'll be present with the Lord. Amen. All right, you know, it says in Romans 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things were written, we're talking about the Word of God today, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scriptures might have hope. It is our source of comfort. Is it not? Yeah. I mean, when the world doesn't make sense, this world makes no sense. I mean, I'm telling your pastor, when I come out of military in 1974, and Nixon had just resigned, and there were things going on, and then eventually Carter, and this world made no sense. I got involved in a motorcycle club, and my probation officer referred to it as a subculture. Maybe it was. And I went underground. I wasn't worried about what was going on in this world for 15 years because it didn't make any sense to me. We kind of formed our own society. But I got saved. I got saved, and only because I was honest enough to admit I deserved to go to hell. And I was also honest enough to admit I ain't tough enough for that, and I ain't stupid enough to risk it. Amen. I got saved. So it's easy to see, okay, all that bad behavior. And that's why people that I know that get saved out of a horrible lifestyle and don't make the break, that is the most incredible, sincere conflict of interest in the world. The Holy Spirit's got to be screaming. So I looked around. I tried to look at things differently as a new creature in Christ. And just to be honest with you, this world didn't make any more sense in 1990 than it did in 1974. Matter of fact, there's ways that it was worse. The difference between being 21 and 37 was this. I met Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made sense. That made this book make sense. Amen? Amen. So we ought to respect it. It's our source of comfort. It says comfort one another. He said, Paul said it in 1 Thessalonians 4, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Amen. I got a weather report for you. I mean, you guys are probably into weather more than a lot of people because you have more than a lot of people. Here's a comforting weather report. God reigns. The sun shines. Isn't that good? I'll give you a minute to write that down. I know you're going to want to quote me on that, and I couldn't tell you where I stole it, but I thought it was cute. Amen. So Bible salvation is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Right? And therefore, Bible Christianity is a personal relationship with the Bible. So, Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Amen. And you do well to hide it in your heart. Richard Wurmbrand did 14 years in solitary confinement and came out more spiritual than he went in. That's because that boy put the Bible in before he got in trouble. Amen. And somebody asked me one time, Brother Berger, why do you think there's so much sin in the camp, sin in our crowd? And it looked pretty obvious to me. If hiding the Word of God in your heart will keep you from sinning, you got a big problem with sin. The answer is obvious. Amen. Right. It says in Psalm 119, verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully. You know, I think of people right now come to mind that sat under preaching for a while. Some of them went to Christian school, and boy, they forgot his word. Shame on them. And their life reflects it. Verse 17 there in 119, Psalm 119, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. You do well to hide it in your heart. You do well to delight in it. Speaking of delight, it said there in Psalm 1 and verse 2, but it's delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The context is that the blessed man. A blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law. You know how to delight yourself in the Word of God? By reading it every day. Amen. Reading it every day.
Amen, brother.
You're supposed to say amen. And if you're not, you're supposed to say, I got to start doing that. Because you would start doing that. You'd do well to start doing that. I know you're busy. Who's not? Amen. I talked about my wife is a reader. I'm not. I have to force myself. Some of you are like me. Some of you are like her. I wish I was more like her when it came to reading. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, if you just make up your mind to read it, not only out of duty, but just to start marveling, delighting yourself in what it says, it gets good, man. Amen. And so if you're not a reader, they make different people put out Bible reading schedules. And I'm with the thing, reading your Bible cover to cover. And if you start January 1st, that's fine. You start July, I don't care when you start. But if you struggle with staying on track, those things might be a help that will help you. I know a lady, my wife gave her a schedule, and she said, I've been saved 20 years. I've read through my Bible numerous times, but until she gave her that Bible reading calendar, she said, I never read through cover to cover in 1 year, and now I do. And that helped her, and that's a help, and helps are good. Listen, read a proverb a day. How nice of the Lord to give us 31 proverbs so we can read one a day. But somebody said, well, what about the months that only have 30? And I really just couldn't even answer anything that stupid. Figure it out. Amen. Amen. There's so much practical, everyday wisdom in the proverb. But listen, that doesn't qualify for studying to show thyself unapproved, approved unto God. It's something you should do. But it's not all you should do. Amen. And the verse said, delight and meditate. Meditate means think about it. Amen. Some people, I think, just got a little pit. I read that. I read three verses. I read five verses. I read three chapters. And it's a check mark. And I did this and I did that. And listen, that ain't going to do the job as well as actually grasping what you just read. So don't read it. Just to fulfill some kind of duty. Amen. Meditate. Think about what it says. Amen. It's more important to read less and actually get something. Right? Amen. It is. If you're not sure, I'll answer it for myself. Yes, it is. Amen. There's a reason for every word that's in there. We believe that, don't we? And there's something God wants you to see every time you read it. And so you need to go at it with that mindset. And he'll speak to you. And if you just want to breeze through it, well, yeah, have a nice day. He won't speak to you. He's not obligated to. Let me say this. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 16. Just let me encourage you to spend time, look forward to spending time in your Bible. And here's why. Now, I'm sure this is just a coincidence. I'm sure. But Psalm 16 and verse 11, amen, says this, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And boy, we live in a pleasure-oriented society. I'm so glad Disney World is gone woke. Amen. That just cracks me up. Amen. Amen. I don't know where that came from, but amen. The path of life is in the covers of your Bible, and it said in thy presence is fullness of joy. And as far as I can tell, the closest you're going to get to his presence is when you're reading your Bible. Amen. And so I just wonder if the reason some Christians lack joy, and they can be saved and wave that book around, tuck it under their arm, and check the little box off their schedule. But they don't have joy, let alone victory, is because they're spending just a little too little time in his presence. I heard this about a little kid, Christian home, and they got a family Bible up on the mantle, and a little eight-year-old, he finally says to his mother, he says, Mom, whose book is that? And the mother, you know, said, well, Johnny, that's God's book. And the little kid said, shouldn't we give it back? Because nobody around here is using it. Amen. I don't want that to be said about the Bible in my house. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, verse you're familiar with, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That pretty much sums it up. That's one important name. Wouldn't you agree?
Yep.
But a curious statement in our opening text was, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. If it wasn't for that book, you wouldn't even know who he was. Amen? Well, so that makes it very important. So are you saved?
Yes, sir.
It's because... Hold on. I haven't spilled it yet. I was a Methodist. I was sprinkled, and I was slightly offended when you said it. Ever so slightly, because you can tell it didn't take. Amen. So if you're saved in here, it isn't because you're a good person, and you might be a fine person. Amen. If you're saved in here, it isn't because you go to church, and you got a good church to go to. And if you're saved, it isn't because you're baptized. Amen. And baptism is a good thing. But I don't save nobody. I heard a preacher say one time, you can get baptized till the tadpoles know your name. And that ain't going to get you into heaven. Amen. Amen. If just because you never killed anybody, that ain't what saves you. I've heard it.
Well, I never done anything that bad.
Okay. If you're saved, it's because the Bible told you how to be. Amen. And you acted upon it. But my grandma told me, well, let me tell you where she got it then, if she told you right. Amen. And so if you're not saved, well, the Bible tells you how to be. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Lord. You still got a shot at it. And if you're in here this morning, Sunday school hour, and you've never been saved, the Bible tells you you can be. And so don't blow it. Amen. But if you are, and probably many of you are, we got something. We got more than we realize when God gave us that book. Amen. So praise the Lord. That's the Sunday school. The Bible. All right, preacher.